Welcome to Sports Spectrum, the sports and faith podcast that brings Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
This episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast is brought to you by Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. For more information about how you can help release a child from poverty, go to the website compassion.com/sportspectrum and pray about releasing a child from poverty today. Before we get to our interview with basketball coach Charlie Ernst from Finley University, I want to tell you about a brand new podcast we got coming out from the makers, from the producers of Sports Spectrum, and it's called Football Sunday. The Football Sunday podcast debuts Monday, December 16th, and it is first-person former and current NFL players sharing their God story, sharing how Jesus has helped them in their walk in life. And it's a really cool, unique podcast, I think, because it's quick. It's 5 to 10 minutes, snackable content, as I like to call it, quick to listen, and it's the athletes themselves telling the story. People like Trent Dilfer, Brandon Marshall, Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins, Matt Hasselbeck, Josh McCown, John Kitna, Benjamin Watson. All of these athletes are going to be a part of Football Sunday's podcast. It's out now. You can subscribe today with a little teaser episode, and then the full podcast releases Monday, December 16th, with Trent Dilfer, Brandon Marshall, and Drew Brees stories. I can't wait for you to hear it. I'm really proud of this podcast. I'm really excited to see what God's going to do with it. Again, it debuts Monday, December 16th, and goes all the way through to the Monday after the Super Bowl, February 3rd, 2020. Subscribe today, Football Sunday Podcast, everywhere podcasts are found. Today on the Sports Spectrum Podcast, we are excited to welcome Charlie Ernst, who is the Finley University men's basketball coach. If you don't know where Finley is, it's Finley, Ohio, Northwest Ohio, Division II school. Charlie is a two-time GMAC Coach of the Year. That's the conference that they play in 2018 and 2019. Last year, he led Finley to a 28-5 record and finishing in the top 25 in Division II polls, number 8 overall. He's been the head coach for 8 years now, being named the head man in March of 2011. He's in his ninth season. 187-57 was his record through 8 years head coaching at Finley. That's a pretty darn good record. And since becoming the head coach in 2011, he's been part of a program to reach the Sweet 16 twice, 6 NCAA Division II national tournament appearances, 2 Great Midwest Athletic Conference titles. And he's doing a great job there as he's in the midst of now a 2019-2020 season with high expectations. But this podcast is more than just talking about coaching, this conversation. It's about adoption. It's about family. It's about a relationship with God. And it's about love. Take a listen to Charlie Ernst, Finley University men's basketball coach, here on Sports Spectrum's podcast. Coach Ernst, welcome to the Sports Spectrum.
Pleasure to be on with you, Jason.
Yeah, it's good to have you, Coach. And I love connecting with people who, honestly, I don't know a ton about, which it's easy to interview someone or talk to someone who, you know, is winning 5, 6, 7 Super Bowls or NBA titles or whatever. But I love connecting with those whom others may not know a ton about, but they're doing great things for God. And so it's a pleasure to have you on our show. And basketball is back, right? And that's the beauty of this time of year. You're going into your ninth season as the head coach at Finley. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of just start with what a typical day looks like in season, because a lot of these coaches that we talk to are usually out of season, but you're in the midst of it right now. The season's already started. You got a couple games under your belt. So what does it look like when you're in the midst of a season on maybe an off day, not a game day, but an off day, as you prepare with practice, any kind of rhythms, disciplines that you stick to? What does that look like?
Well, I think the thing about our level that maybe differs from the Division I level, and we're an NCAA Division II school. You know, we'd like to think we're a very good one. Yeah. But nonetheless, I think to answer your question, we have to wear a lot of hats. And it's the only level I've ever coached at. I was an assistant here at Finley for 19 years prior to my nine as the head coach. So I've spent my entire coaching career, all 28 years here at Finley. So this is the only level I know. Yeah. And so doing the paperwork, the business side of things, making sure that our budget's solid. I handle a lot of our fundraising within our basketball program, scheduling, not to mention the day-to-day grind of watching video. Sometimes the video is of our practice the previous day, and sometimes it's video of our upcoming opponent. And then hashing out with my staff, maybe growth, what we could do in terms of growth, what direction should we head as a team? Should we play fast? Should we play slow? That this time of year, you're still trying to develop what your style of play is going to be. And so, we have to carve out time for that piece too. So there's a lot of hats we have to wear at this level, but the off days from games, at least, are certainly very full. And then, of course, that's not to mention the fact that I have a wife and three children. So, I try to be there for them as well. So it's a busy day, but it's the only way I've ever known, and I enjoy every minute of it.
Well, it sounds like for lack of a better word, it's a busy season of life too. Like, that once probably September or even October hits, it's all systems go until the season's over, hopefully at the end of March with a championship, and then there's some downtime. So are you able to get downtime, or are you kind of one of those guys that's thinking about work a lot, where you got to go think about recruiting or anything like that? So what does that look like in season and out?
Yeah, I think I've gotten better at that. When our season ends, that's quite honestly probably the best time for me to have downtime, those months of April and the first part of May. We have built very successful basketball camps here in the summer, and that goes back to the early to mid-90s when I was an assistant and Ron Niekamp was the head coach here. And those camps have just continued to evolve. This past year, we had over 3,000 kids here over the summer, and that spans mostly from mid-June to mid-July. So a good part of May, the reason I bring that up, a good part of May is the organization of those camps. And then, of course, doing the actual camps is most of June and, like I said, a part of July, and then you kind of fall into recruiting the rest of July. So sometimes in August I can get away, but really the months of April, the end of March, all of April, the beginning of May would be probably what I would consider to be my downtime. Mm-hmm. So I do try to use that time period to spend time with my wife and my kids and just to try to be more present. But I think at this level, we can do that better year round than maybe they can do at the Division I level. And that's part of the reason I've stayed at this level.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, and we'll ask, get into that more in a minute. But what about game days for you? Are you one of those anxious coaches on game day where you're licking your chops and your hands are, palms are sweaty and you're just kind of getting ready for it? Or are you kind of more on the calm side of preparation on game day? Because I know for me, just as a, just even pick up basketball, but as a fan, I get kind of excited, we're itching to go. But I think there's a lot to say about somebody who can kind of stay calm in the midst of a storm. How would you describe yourself?
I would say my first year or two, I was maybe more of the palm sweaty sort of coach, but I would definitely describe my style now as to be more calm, more calculated, I guess. And I would say my coaching style is that way, but I'm a very energetic person. I think that would be the things that our players would say is he's very energetic. He's a pretty positive type person. When he's upset, it's very obvious to everyone that he's upset and there's a good message to follow. So I feel like that's a style that the coach prior to me that I played for, Ron Niekamp, was a Hall of Fame coach. It was his style. And probably having been his assistant for 19 years and having played for him before that, unbeknownst to me, maybe, I I had acquired his style of coaching over time. And then when the head coaching whistle was handed over to me, that probably became the style that I had come to love and come to respect. And it became more of who I wanted to be. And I feel like it works the best. It's a long season. It's hard to be, you know, a really, really energetic person all the time. And I think that wears on the players. I think a more even keel, consistent approach is what we try to have in our program.
So through that, and I love that, I think you have mentors that teach you and kind of you develop a calmness, I guess, in the way that you coach. But when did coaching become something that you wanted to pursue? Like at what point in your journey are you thinking, yeah, I think this coaching thing might be something I want to go for? Because you were 19 years as an assistant. That's a long time to stick with this profession, to be in this world of coaching. But when did that start to kind of take shape and begin for you?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because when I was in college and playing and my major was marketing and public relations, I really wasn't thinking much about a career in coaching. Now, you know, maybe coaching my son's, you know, fifth and sixth grade team or something of that sort. You know, that had crossed my mind, but never as a profession. And when I was a senior at Finley as a player, I received a phone call, from our head coach. Again, I know I've mentioned his name a couple times, Ron Niekamp, but he had reached out to me and said, hey, could you stop in and see me before practice? And so I did. And he asked me what I would think of, you know, being an assistant coach after college. And so the thought had never really crossed my mind. Anyhow, I decided to do it. I carried the hat of not only assistant men's basketball coach, but I also worked in our admissions office and helped just recruit general students, sell the university. Ultimately, I don't know if it was the first or second year of coaching, probably more like the second year, I really got my feet wet. I got more aggressive as a coach, had more confidence in myself and in what I could add to the program, and realized early on that, you know, maybe this coaching thing is what I'm cut out to do with the rest of my life. And, you know, that's not to say that along the way, you mentioned those 19 years, there weren't some times where I questioned whether this is where I should remain. It was mostly the time commitment, the schedule, you know, whether, you know, I wanted to sort of give away my winners for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, there would be no ski, not that I'm a skier, but there would be no ski trips to Colorado.
Right.
There would be nothing that I could plan from really the months of, you know, October through March. And, you know, so the thought of that, but really it always came back to, you know, I love to be around the players. I love to be on a college campus. I love to coach young men, help them grow as people, you know, and I just couldn't imagine doing anything other than that.
Charlie Ernst is our guest here on Sports Spectrum, Finley University men's basketball coach. So where does that faith journey begin? Sports Spectrum is the intersection of sports and faith. For you, tell us your faith story. Tell us about your walk with the Lord.
Well, I was born and raised in a Catholic home. My mom and dad both came from strong Catholic backgrounds. And, you know, so it was instilled in me from a very young age. I did not attend a Catholic school. I instead attended a public school in a small town in western Ohio called Minster. And Minster is a very German Catholic community. Most of the teachers when I was in school were nuns. And so it was a public school, but very private in terms of a Catholic type school, as you could get and still be public. In fact, I often tell people, I'm not sure they could get away with some of those things today. In the world we live in, Maybe they still do. I still have my mom and dad living in Minster. I just don't pay as much attention to how they do things at the school. But it really, what it did for me, I think, is it really, you know, gave me an appreciation for how important having God present in my life, not only at home, but in school, in the way I treat my friends, treat other people, not just my friends, but everyone. And I learned a lot about not only, you know, the Bible, but more so about myself, and, you know, how God wants us to be and how he wants us to live. And I still feel like I still carry those same qualities with me today. And it all goes back to my elementary years in Minster. Ultimately, I went on, came to college, met my wife, Belinda. And she was a strong Lutheran, following the Lutheran faith. And so, you know, we suffered some loss early in our marriage, which was very difficult. We lost a baby at birth, and it really tested our marriage. And through that, we had reached out to a Lutheran church that was close by and really felt connected. And I think that really sort of shocked both of us, not only our relationship with one another, but our relationship with God. And, you know, I think all of us, especially when you get to be near 50, can look back at several instances throughout your life. And unfortunately, many times they're, you know, things of sorrow that kind of redirect us. And that was really number one for us. And, you know, it really, we were so comfortable at church at a tough time in our lives, that we became very, very close to our church family. And because of that, it's only grown and grown and grown. And then we had two healthy children, and we are, as a family, we're extremely well connected at church. Not only do I lecture on Sunday mornings, but I serve communion. We do some ushering. My wife teaches first communion classes. She teaches Sunday school. Both of our kids are involved in the church in many ways. In fact, they serve communion, even though they're in eighth grade and as a sophomore in high school. But my faith journey is really has gained a tremendous amount of momentum in the last 15 years. And I feel like the more I learn, the more I want to learn. And because I don't profess to know near enough about the stories in the Bible as what I'd like to know. And so my wife has been really, for me, the gateway to learning more, because I hear her tell a lot of stories and listen to her teach the Bible. She's really good at it. And so it's not often you can say that you look up to your wife when it comes to that.
Well, you mentioned too, the last 10, 15 years, you've really, you know, grown in your faith. And you also mentioned another word, which is relationship. And I think there are, you know, for myself, I grew up in a Catholic setting, went to church. My grandfather was adamant about that. So we would go with him as kids. But I never heard that word relationship until I was 27 years old. And my brother Chris introduced me to a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with God. And that was very foreign to me. I didn't know that you could have a relationship with God. I thought it was just rituals and go to church on Sunday and, you know, maybe pray before a meal and Easter and Christmas. And that was kind of it. But something took shape where that relationship developed with me and wanting to learn more and hunger more for God and what he had to say in his word. So I say that only to ask, for you mentioned that word relationship, and in the last 10 years you said it's really grown. So can you take us inside what you mean by grown and maybe kind of expand on that in terms of your walk with the Lord and kind of growing in that?
Yeah, you know, I think, and I like that word too, and I think that's really where the difference in my faith has come is my relationship with God. And trying to read, I think that's always the difficult thing, is sometimes we say, you know, I'm going to put this in God's hands and I'm going to look for signs. And it's, okay, so what are those signs? And like, when do you know, oh, this is the sign or this is a sign? And I think for me, it's not specific, you know, events. It's just, you know, being aware of your feelings and your emotions and maybe some of the self-talk. You know, we all do a lot of that. You know, and I have found myself realizing that life is so much more than basketball games. And it's, you know, the older you get, the more you realize that, and trying to understand, you know, why am I doing what I do? Is this a bigger plan? Is there a bigger plan that God has for me? And if there is, if all this watching film and this burning desire to win games is at the forefront for me, then am I really doing what God has called me to do as a coach? And I think over the last 10 years for me, it's been not stressing as much over winning and losing as much as, am I doing the job the way that God would want me to do and be proud of me for doing it? And so I think when I look at it that way, my relationship with him has grown because I feel like I'm more in touch with what's expected of me, given the fact that I've been blessed with the role that I've been given. It's not many people that get the opportunity to coach college basketball for a living.
Sure.
I want to have a big impact on the people I coach, the life I get to live, and maybe, you know, impact not only my players, but my own kids, maybe make people's lives around me better because of coaching and because of the sport of basketball. I think that there's a lot of things there, and I'm always looking for ways that I can do these things better. And I think that's where my relationship with God has changed me over the last 10 years.
Charlie Ernst has been our guest here on Sports Spectrum. So when I heard about you and your story, ironically from your brother, who reached out to me on social media, and I love that. I love that he cared enough and thought that this would be a great story to do that, and I think it is. But it's going to get a little crazier as we continue the conversation, because there's a story that goes on regarding your family, regarding adoption, and regarding Africa. So I'll just start with that, leave it, you know, generic in that frame, and let you take the story away from there. So tell us what came about and what took place, especially recently, within the Ernst family.
Well, about 3.5 years ago, my wife began talking to me about wanting to go to Haiti. She's a physician assistant and has been for nearly 20 years. In fact, that's how we met here on our campus. And she had really, in her own faith walk, had really felt like there was a greater calling for her. And so she connected with a mission group actually here in Findlay, Ohio, called Mission Possible. And she began making trips twice a year to Haiti to take care of sick children in one of the 7 schools that Mission Possible runs in northern Haiti. And she's become very connected to that. It's a very important part of her life. And her and I would talk about it often. We sponsor several children. And the impact that country had on her, ultimately what it had on our family, you know, the fact that there's just a tremendous amount of love in Haiti from people who have so very little. And so we had considered, due to a relationship that she had formed with one of the children in Haiti, had began looking into the possibilities of adoption. And And in the midst of that, I also made the decision that I wanted to include mission work in our basketball program. And so I had our players, they had gotten presentations from my wife several times over the years following trips to Haiti. I wanted them to see what's going on and maybe inspire one of them to do mission work in the future. But anyhow, I ended up taking a trip to Haiti in May, and I brought not only a current player, but I brought an alum with me as well. And we taught leadership at each of the schools using basketball as the means to do that. Mm. And, it was a tremendous trip for me, but it also had the same sort of impact on me that it's had on my wife. And so about a year and a half ago, prior to this trip, we had made a decision as a family to move forward with adoption, possibly through Haiti. Due to some issues adopting in Haiti, and these are issues that are not foreign to just us, they would be the same hurdles that any family in the United States would have to overcome. There's a very long wait period to adopt from Haiti. And through prayer, we decided to spread our wings and look at other possibilities, other countries, because at this point we had opened our hearts to adoption. And we were connected with a small country in Africa called Burundi. Most people have never heard of Burundi. It's in the center of Africa, just south of Rwanda. But Burundi, like Haiti, is a third world country, has one of the poorest economic portfolios in the world, and just felt like it was a lot like Haiti. And the agency called All God's Children, which is located on the West Coast here in the United States, connected us with this country. And they were the agency that we went with. And so for the past 2 years, we have been praying and hoping, preparing ourselves, not only physically, but mentally, spiritually, to add to our family. And we made the decision that because we lost our first son at birth, I had mentioned earlier today, we decided we wanted a son. And so, and we also wanted to make ourselves available to take an older child. If that's, there's not a lot of families looking to adopt children over the age of six.
Right.
But there's so many, every kid needs love. Every kid needs a warm home, a place to call home, a family that loves them and they love them back. And so we wanted to make ourselves available to, really any age, but any child, any boy up to the age of, well, like 7 or 8. Believe it or not, once they get much older than that, they no longer are adoptable in certain countries. So this past February on a road trip, I received a phone call, and we had been matched with a little boy named Roger, living in an orphanage in Burundi, Africa. And as fate would have it, we were settled and sort of given the go-ahead after 2.5 years in the process to make the trip to Burundi on leaving October 12th of 2019. Now, anyone that coaches or plays college basketball understands the significance of that date, because that's about the time that college basketball practice begins.
Yeah, that's right.
So fortunately, with the blessing of the administration here at the University of Findlay and the fact that I've had a coaching staff in place and my assistants have been with me my entire time here, that I've been the head coach. Our staff has got great stability. We we were still able to make the trip. I was not about to send my wife alone and not be there for my son when in those very early days. So I spent 13 days in Africa from October 12th to October 25th and returned to the team on the 26th. Now, you know, there was still some watching of video and communicating with my coaching staff while we were gone, but we were able to bring Roger home on October 25th. And he's been an absolute blessing in our lives. He's 6 or 7 years old. There's not great certainty on that. And we're in the midst of finding out a, hopefully a more accurate idea of his age. But I think he teaches me the same things that the people in Haiti do.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, you don't need possessions. You really don't need a whole lot of things in life, or at least we shouldn't, to make us happy. As long as we have each other, and have love for one another, that should be enough to put a smile on your face. And he proves that every day.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great story. And obviously those listening hopefully will join me in, you know, praying for you guys and certainly praying for Roger, and excited for what the Lord has in store. And now you got to turn around and coach a basketball season, which you're doing and you're in the midst of. So as we wind down here, coach, I really just had a general coaching question for you. And maybe it's even a question about life, but what do you see as the key to being a great coach in your mind? You've been doing this a while. You said 27 years now with Finley. You don't know any other program, which I think is a really neat thing that you're locked in with your one program, but it's obviously working because they're keeping you around, coach, right? So it's working. So what do you think has been some of the keys that have helped you, you know, stay as long as you've been able to stay and be a great coach?
Well, I think I'm real to people. You know, I've never looked at myself to be anything more than a person that does things the right way, and just loves life. You know, I feel like I, you know, I fit in with everyone, and I think I'm mostly a very happy person, and I think I exude that when people are around me. I'm energetic. But I think the thing that's helped me keep a long career in coaching is that, you know, prior to getting involved in mission work and with Roger, you know, I think that my wife being a physician assistant, and her specialty is pulmonary medicine. And so she deals with life and death every day, telling people they have cancer, telling families that their loved one, I'm sorry, has months to live.
Yeah.
But in her job, you know, it's been able to keep me on an even keel. And I think that's a key to not only having a long career in coaching, but maybe even to successful coaching, because too often we lose sight of things in our profession. You know, and you can't dwell on a bad loss, a bad practice, losing a player to injury, you know, losing a player to outside factors. You have to move on quickly. You kind of, you just, and so I think, but sometimes that's hard to do in coaching if you lose sight of perspective. And I think she's been able to keep me on an even keel. I try not to have high highs and low lows, and I try to be the same person each and every day. Does that mean I'm happy after losses? No, it doesn't mean that. But I think I get over losses quicker than most. And we get right back to work with the energetic approach, positive approach, what we have to do better, and we get to work and do it. And I think, you know, that can keep you in this profession for a long time. And I think it helps you move on. We play a lot of games. Sometimes we play back-to-back. Sometimes we have one day off in between. You know, if you don't have the right approach, one loss can become five very quickly. And I think if we've done one thing well since I've been here, it's that we've never had a long losing streak. And we've been able to move on from losses rather quickly. And that's a credit to our players. And that's the thing I want to continue to keep doing.
Well, I think part of it too is what you said earlier. If you don't make it about wins and losses, then you're able to move on from the wins and the losses. If you make it all about wins and losses, you take it so hard and you can't move on. And sometimes you dwell on it and it can actually be a negative in trying to move forward. Coach, this has been great in having you here on the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Last question. We ask this to all of our guests here on Sports Spectrum. What are you learning from God today? What is he teaching you right now? And I say that because we learn something new, I think, from God in our relationship with him every day. So today, as I'm talking to you in mid-November, we're running this in early December, what are you learning from God?
I think probably just what the word love really means. And we all profess that we love one another, and sometimes we act it, but do we always think it? You know, we go into Walmart and we already have people labeled in our own mind. We're not going to go tell people what we think of some of the things that we see, and it just doesn't happen there. It happens all over the place. And I think true love of people and loving the way God wants us to love is to not stereotype and truly love other people. And if that means, you know, giving someone a warm place to live, if that means maybe feeding the homeless. But I think more than that, it's just the way you treat everyone you come in contact with, because you don't know what kind of day they're having. And sometimes just one or two words, a hello, how are you doing, makes a big difference. So I think if I'm learning anything from God, it's what really the word love means in his eyes, and trying to do that each and every day.
That's good stuff there from Charlie Ernst, the Finley University men's basketball coach. Best of luck to you and the team going forward in 2019 into 2020. Obviously there's expectations when you win a lot, and I'm sure that they're there for you this year, but wish you nothing but the best, really do. And hopefully we'll be talking to you again soon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, you bet. And I appreciate everything you do and spreading the word and the good word of God. And if you're ever in Northwest Ohio, give me a shout. We'll have a ticket or two waiting for you.
You got it. Coach, thanks so much.
You bet.
Good stuff there from Charlie Ernst, the Finley University men's basketball coach, Division II, and expecting great things. Talking to him off the air after we stopped taping, he's excited about this team, and he says he's got a lot of talent, and it's always a challenge to piece it all together and make it work. And listen, they went 28-5 last year, finished number 8 in the Division II polls in the top 25, and I know they're expecting and hoping for bigger and even better things in 2020. So keep an eye on Finley University and their basketball coach, Charlie Ernst, who's not just a great basketball coach, but man, what a heart for God and a heart for people, and the work that he is doing to impact other people's lives, and certainly even just adopting their young son, Roger. When you adopt, there's something different about people who adopt, in my opinion, in a good way. It's a person who is truly living out the love of Jesus into helping and giving someone else a chance. And in many ways, we're all adopted, right? As sons and daughters of God, we're all adopted into his kingdom. And Charlie is living that out, adopting his own son, Roger. Really appreciate him and sharing his story with us all here at Sports Spectrum. So give Charlie a follow on Twitter at Charlie A. Ernst, E-R-N-S-T, at Charlie A. Ernst, and let him know you heard his story here on Sports Spectrum's podcast. Thanks to Charlie. Thanks to Compassion International for sponsoring and partnering with us here at Sports Spectrum. $38 a month, an opportunity to release a child from poverty. That's what comes your way when you sponsor a child through Compassion International. Go to the website, compassion.com/sportsspectrum, compassion.com/sportsspectrum. Again, tax deductible, $38 a month, food, education, medical care, vocational training, all done in the name of Jesus. Compassion does it right. Go to the website, compassion.com/sportsspectrum, and pray about releasing a child from poverty today. As always, you can reach us on our social media pages, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Check out our YouTube channel as well and subscribe there. Send us a note, send us a DM, send us a reply, retweet, like, favorite, whatever it is. We see it all, and we'd love to hear from you here at Sports Spectrum. We also love your ideas. That's how Charlie Ernst came to be a guest here on Sports Spectrum, from his brother sending me a DM on Twitter with the guest suggestion. And so I do my research, I contacted Coach Ernst, and boom, we did a podcast. So we welcome your guest suggestions, whether it's a huge name, big name guy like Steph Curry and Tim Tebow, which we've heard from so many of you that you want to hear a podcast with them. And listen, I do too. So if you know Steph Curry or you know Tim Tebow, let them know we want to have them here on Sports Spectrum. I would love to interview those two. But we also know about the Charlie Ernsts of the world and want to interview them too. And a lot of times we don't know about the Charlie Ernsts of the world unless somebody calls or texts or tweets at us or Facebook messages us and tells us about the Charlie Ernsts of the world. So we're relying on you to do that. So reach out to us on social media and send us any guest suggestions that you might have. We also want to encourage you to check out our website, sportsspectrum.com. That's the home base for all of our content, sportsspectrum.com. You got articles all day long on the intersection of sports and faith. You got a daily devotional at 6 a.m. Eastern every Monday through Friday to start your day right with God, a sports and faith devotional. And then you have every podcast. Every podcast we've done is right there at the website, sportsspectrum.com. Thanks so much for listening. We love you guys. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time here on Sports Spectrum's podcast. Have a great rest of your day.